Well, hello everyone, and once again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, greeting you in the wonderful name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And friends, I thank God that the one who bore the name of Jesus Christ also bore my sins in his own body on the cross. Well, here we are with another day of grace and another opportunity to present the claims of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. And if there's anyone listening in today who has never been saved or born again through faith in the blood of Christ, then I would strongly suggest that you stay tuned in, because I personally believe that God has caused you to listen to this program today. Yes, God is a loving God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And friend, I believe he wants you to be born again today. Yes, because tomorrow may be too late. In Proverbs 27 and verse 1, here's what we read. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee for his death at Calvary and the shedding of his precious blood, without which there could be no remission for sin. We pray thy blessing upon thy word about to be read and spoken from today. May thy Holy Spirit do his work in convicting and converting sinners. Save souls, for we ask it in the name of thy Son, him whom thou delightest to honor, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, today, if you would care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using as my text one verse, as we find it in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, meaning God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me repeat the first part of this verse. This is Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, friends, as most of you know, this 11th chapter of Hebrews calls the role of the faithful men and women who have distinguished themselves by serving the purposes of God as recorded in the Old Testament scriptures. We have brought before us here in Hebrews chapter 11 the faithfulness of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the judges, and others who at one time or another trod the pathway of faithfulness to God. And friends, each one of those who are mentioned in this chapter, at one time or another, displayed their complete dependence on the God of heaven. And as a result, they brought pleasure to the heart of God. Yes, we have that fact revealed in our text, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now then, today, and with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I'd like to bring before you four different types of faith which we find prevalent in the world today, insofar as salvation is concerned. And friends, as I bring these comments regarding faith to your attention, I trust that you'll allow the Spirit of God to search your heart and soul to make sure, absolutely sure, that you have the type of faith that really pleases God. And friend, as I've said on every broadcast I've ever made, remember, this is for eternity. So let's make sure that we've got the only kind of faith that brings pleasure to God and assures us of a place in God's heaven. Now, friends, without a doubt, the most prevalent type of faith which exists in professing Christendom today is what I would call head faith. Yes, head faith. And friend, I don't hesitate to say that I believe that many of you listening to my voice today who honestly believe you're heaven-bound have nothing more than head faith when it comes to the salvation of your soul. Now, right away you say, well, what do you mean by head faith? After all, faith is faith, so how can I be wrong? Friend, by head faith, I simply mean that you have nothing more than a head knowledge of God's plan of redemption. In other words, you have an historical faith in what the Bible says. You believe in God. You believe that the Bible is God's Word. You believe that Jesus Christ was God's Son. You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross as a sacrifice for sin. You believe that he now sits at the right hand of his Father God. You believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will soon return for those who are saved. Yes, you might even believe in a literal hell and a lake of fire. But friend, listen, believing these facts do not make you a Christian. Oh, no, my friend. You can believe all these facts and still spend all eternity in the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. Why, friends, the Bible tells us in James 2 and verse 19 that the demons believe in God. And what's more, we're told that they tremble. Furthermore, the devil himself believes that the Bible is God's word, but you know as well as I do, he'll never be in God's heaven. And as far as Jesus Christ dying on the cross is concerned, well, friend, there's more proof of this fact than that there is that we're living in the 20th century. And finally, my friend, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is more certain than is the assumption that the sun will rise tomorrow. Now then, let me go one step further. If I were to ask everyone listening to my voice today whether or not you are a Christian, I believe that at least 95% of you would answer yes, I belong to the Christian faith. Well, friends, belonging to the so-called Christian faith does not make you a Christian. You can be a Presbyterian and still go to hell. You can be a Methodist and still go to hell. You can be a Baptist, Lutheran, Nazarene, Pentecostal, Christian Missionary Alliance, Catholic, or gathered to the Lord's name and still end up in the flames of hell. Friend, listen. You can be a member of any denominational church or every denominational church and yet not belong to the body of Christ. And furthermore, nowhere in God's Word do we read that being a member of a church will make you fit for heaven. Ah, no, my friend. I believe that hell is packed with church members who were baptized, confirmed, dedicated, belonged to the Sunday school, sang in the choir, and perhaps even preached the gospel. Sure, these people had a head belief or head knowledge of salvation, but they had never been born again. They had never seen their lost condition in God's sight. They had never by faith seen the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, shedding His precious blood for them in particular. No, they had never really accepted the death of Christ as an atonement for their sins. There was no personal appropriation of the blood of Christ. Friend, let me ask you sincerely today, what kind of faith do you have? Is it head faith or heart faith? Is it head knowledge or heart knowledge? In other words, are you sure you're really saved? My, it must be terrible for a pious, self-righteous, church-going, Bible-reading, and praying individual to live a life that would put true Christians to shame and then to die and drop off into a hell with its weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Friend, that's the reason it's so important to make sure that you've got the right kind of faith, because head faith never saved a soul yet, and what's more, it never will. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, here's what God says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, not only in the head, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, not the head, but with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Yes, my friends, it makes an eternity of difference what kind of faith you have. If you have nothing more than head faith, you'll spend all eternity in hell and the ultimate lake of fire. On the other hand, if you have heart faith or saving faith in Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, you'll spend all eternity singing the praises of Him who loved you unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, I want to bring before you the second type of faith, which is widespread in the world today, and that is dead faith. Dead faith. And here again, we have a faith that is taking millions down into the flames of hell, because these people who have a dead faith are those who are substituting religion for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. These people boast of their religious heritage as though it could take them into God's heaven. They point to their religious activities as though they found favor in God's sight. Yes, and these people stick out their chests and boast of their so-called good works, their church membership, and ritualistic observance of holy days. Listen, friend, if you fall into this category, I hasten to tell you in love for your soul and in the fear of God alone, you're on the broad road that leads to destruction, and you're only a heartbeat from the flames of hell. Yes, my friend, if you continue on with your dead faith, then it won't be long till you're weeping and wailing in the place called hell. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, well, our preacher or priest tells us that we should do this and do that, so I'm going to listen to him. After all, he went to seminary to learn the truth of God's Word. Listen, my friend, I have every respect for your pastor as an individual, but if your pastor doesn't preach man's ruin and God's remedy, he's not saved. It's a case of the blind leading the blind. If he doesn't preach the Bible, the blood, and the blessed hope, then he doesn't know the Bible. He's not sheltered by the blood, and he has no blessed hope. Friend, if your preacher or priest doesn't preach Jesus Christ crucified, crowned, and coming again, then I'm afraid that he too is a possessor of dead faith. And furthermore, regardless of the fact that he is a seminary graduate and has D.D. after his name, meaning Doctor of Divinity, if he hasn't been born again by the Holy Spirit and Word of God, then those initials D.D. will mean doomed and damned if he dies without Christ as his Savior. Now then, to you who believe that your so-called good works will take you to heaven, friend, where did you ever get such a devilish doctrine? There's one thing sure, you never read it in the Bible, because it's just not there. Friend, nowhere in God's Word, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, do we read that good works will take a soul to heaven. In fact, God tells us in Romans 3 and 12 that there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Again, in Titus 3 and 5, we read, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy he saves us. Again, in Romans 4 and 5, God says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And finally, I think of those verses 8 and 9 in Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to this. This is Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. Did you hear that, friend? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Friend, listen. If you're trying to reach heaven by your so-called good works, you'll be in hell. If you're trying to please God by religious activity, you'll be in hell. Friend, if you're depending upon baptism, confirmation, dedication, or church membership to take you to God's heaven, then you're going to be in hell. And furthermore, if you're depending upon anything apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to take you into God's heaven, you'll be in hell as sure as you're listening to my voice today. Yes, you're a victim of dead faith. And friend, unless you see your need for Jesus Christ and accept Him as your own and personal Savior, you'll spend all eternity in the place called hell. Now perhaps someone is thinking, well, Mr. Hawk, do you mean to tell me that God doesn't take notice of my good works, my church membership, my morals, my culture, my education, and charitable disposition? Do you mean to tell me that a loving God in heaven isn't pleased with me trying to do the best I can here on earth? After all, I'm a good neighbor, and never have I done anything seriously wrong or any harm to anyone. I try to keep the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule. I pray, I read my Bible, I tithe, I fast, and so on and so on. Doesn't God have anything to say about my righteousness? Yes, friend, I'll have to admit that God does take notice of your religious activities, and He sure does have something to say about your righteousness. Friend, if your Bible is handy, you turn to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6, where God sees you as nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Yes, friend, God has a pretty good idea of just what you are. Now, if you're still receptive to the Word and truth of God, turn over to Isaiah 64 and verse 6. God searches your heart and soul inside and outside, my friend, and finally declares here in Isaiah 64 and 6 that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Are you listening, friend? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Dead faith. That's what you've got, sinner friend. Dead faith. And unless you've been born again by the Holy Spirit and Word of God, that dead faith will not take you into God's heaven, but it will usher you into the flames of hell. Now, friend, I want to bring before you now still another type of faith which is damning the souls of countless millions throughout the world today. And that type of faith I would call devilish faith. Yes, devilish faith. And furthermore, I believe there are two separate aspects of this devilish faith worth mentioning. And that is devilish faith here in America and devilish faith in the less civilized countries of the world. Now, friends, in both instances of this devilish faith, it is easily recognizable by sporadic outbursts of screaming, shouting, chanting, crying, laughing, rolling on the ground, foaming at the mouth, and pagan sacrifice. I understand that most people don't realize what they're doing when they're going through all these gyrations. Most of these people are under the influence of cocaine, heroin, LSD, angel dust, crack, marijuana, yes, and many other mind-crippling drugs. Friends, whether you know it or not, there are places in this country, as well as abroad, where people are gathered to the name of Satan, the devil. Yes, there are meetings being held where men and women actually and knowingly worship the devil, the enemy of their soul. These people are of the opinion that they are going to go to hell anyway, so they believe that if they worship the devil on earth, it will be a lot easier for them when they get to hell. Listen, friend, this is fact, not fiction. Yes, these facts have been brought to light during recent years by leading newspapers with worldwide circulation. Why, in West Germany alone, I understand that there are estimated to be about 10 million worshipers of Satan. Now, perhaps you're thinking, well, I'm sure glad I don't have devilish faith. Those people are sure to be in hell. Friend, listen, are you sure you don't have devilish faith? Are you, my friend? The Lord Jesus Christ says in John 8:44 that if you're not a child of God, then you're a child of the devil. In other words, if you've never been saved or born again, then you're serving your father, the devil, every moment you live. Friend, that's the Word of God, and I make absolutely no apology for the Word of God. Now, I believe we're all aware of the fact that countless millions throughout the world are worshiping pagan gods made of gold, silver, wood, precious stones, and so on. Friend, this is devilish faith. This is faith in idols and superstition, which bring no glory to the only true God, the Father of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sure, these people are sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. These people are religious, but religion never saved a soul. Ah, listen, my friend. Sacrifices, human or otherwise, are devilish faith. The only sacrifice that ever fully pleased the God of heaven was when His Son Jesus Christ shed His precious blood on Calvary's cross. And yet, when we think of the pagan mother tearing her baby from the warm breast and throwing her baby to the crocodiles, is she sincere? Is she, my friend? Yes, she's most sincere, but again I say, sincerely wrong. Then, of course, we have devilish faith displayed by many religions who subjugate the blood of Jesus Christ to a place of secondary importance. These people are willing to propagate another gospel, but the true gospel of salvation through the blood. Some people today are adding to the Word of God by preaching that a sinner must be baptized in order to be saved. Friend, as far as the soul's salvation is concerned, nothing, absolutely nothing, need be added to the value and the virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ as a propitiation for sin. Now, don't misunderstand me, my friend. I believe that all Christians should be baptized because believers' baptism is clearly taught in the Word of God. But on the other hand, baptism is not a prerequisite to salvation. In other words, a sinner is not saved by baptism, but every Christian should be baptized. And by baptism, I don't mean sprinkled either. I mean immersed, completely submerged in the waters of baptism as clearly taught in the Word of God. Now then, still another example of devilish faith is found in the emotional outbursts of religious fanatics who give the impression that they're demented and lacking in the emotional stability which all true Christians should have. Now here again, friends, don't misunderstand me. I believe we Christians should have a zeal for the things of God and should be highly enthusiastic about preaching the gospel of God's grace. But friend, remember this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, we read, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Did you hear that? Let all things be done decently and in order. Singing the songs of Zion to the tune of Jungle Jive isn't acting decently. Rolling on the floor in an obvious devilish trance isn't bringing glory to God. Handling snakes and putting on a show of devilish faith isn't pleasing to God either, my friend. Some time ago, I heard of a man who was so worked up and demon-possessed at one of these meetings that he dove through a second-floor window and almost killed himself. I know, too, a few years ago of a friend of mine who came to my house to tell me that she finally became a child of God while away on her vacation. She told me how she had attended the meetings of a well-known faith healer and had received a physical and spiritual blessing. I then asked her point blank if she had ever realized that she was on her way to hell. She quickly replied, "Of course not. All I wanted was something tangible." Well, friends, the answer I gave to that statement caused her to leave my house offended. But friend, remember, this is for eternity. And if you've never realized that you're lost, then you can't possibly be saved, because in Luke 19:10, Jesus Christ said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Friend, are you sure you have the right kind of faith today? Please don't let the devil delude you, my friend. He's a cunning foe, and he's leading millions of souls down to hell with devilish faith. Now, before I receive a lot of unwarranted letters of adverse criticism, let me say unreservedly that I believe 100% in divine healing. Let me repeat that. I believe 100% in divine healing. Yes, I'm quite sure that God has healed, is healing, and shall continue to heal those whom he sees fit to heal. But friends, when a so-called faith healer with an unsavory reputation and track record puts on a fantastical display and emotional circus, I don't believe it's of God at all. God doesn't do things that way. And if these people who attend these religious sideshows would show as much interest in their spiritual condition as they do in their physical condition, there would be fewer souls in hell tomorrow. Now, friend, before I bring to your attention the last type of faith, I want to mention further in regards to devilish faith that you should beware of false religious cults that are active throughout the world today. These false cults, being emissaries of the devil, are bringing much grief to the true servants of Christ who are seeking to bring sinners to the Lord. Friends, these people are very cunning. They're as deceitful as a rattlesnake and twice as deadly. They knock on your door periodically throughout the year under the pretense of selling religious literature. Oh, listen, friend, beware of false prophets. These people, many of them bubbling over with zeal and sincerity, are propagating a devilish doctrine which came up from the pit of hell. These people deny the eternal existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the efficacy of blood atonement. And they have dozens of devilish beliefs that are completely contrary to the Bible, the Word of God. Friend, beware. Beware of these ambassadors of Satan. You know, these people don't believe in a literal hell. But friends, this failure to believe the Word of God will in no way alter the truth of God's Word. The Bible tells us that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I believe it, and I preach it. And furthermore, you who do not believe in a literal hell now will soon have no reason to doubt it. Now, so much for the faith that lead to eternal torment. How about the real and only faith that pleases God? And what kind of faith is that? Well, friends, I would call it saving faith, because it saves the sinner from sin and its terrible consequences. And friend, in Radioland today, if you don't have saving faith, you're still on the broad and crowded road going down to the place called hell and the ultimate lake of fire. Now, friends, our text, Hebrews 11:6, tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if we were to turn over to Romans 10:17, we would read that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, friend, the first phase of saving faith must be preaching the Word of God. And unfortunately, as I've said before, too many so-called ministers of the gospel just do not preach the truth of God's Word. One reason for this, of course, is because they don't know the truth of God's Word. Sure, they know the Bible history. They know their Greek, their Latin, their Hebrew, and Aramaic languages, but they don't know Jesus Christ. They know about Him, but they've never been by faith to Calvary's cross to meet Him face to face. In other words, friends, these men have never been born again by the Holy Spirit and Word of God. And some of them live as much in sin as most of their congregation. In fact, I can recall before I was saved how I used to gamble on Lord's Day evening with a man in a turned collar, smoking a cigar, cheating, and taking the Lord's name in vain. Sure, he had spent at least 12 years in a seminary, but he didn't find Jesus Christ there. Friends, it's indeed sad when we stop to think of those in whose hands are entrusted the spiritual instruction of millions, and they're not children of God themselves. Listen, friends, don't put your soul's eternal destiny in the hands of another mere human being. After all, this is for eternity, and it does make a difference for all eternity whether you're right or wrong today. Read your Bible, my friend, and ask God through His Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to your soul. Now then, friend, let's assume that your preacher is a born-again child of God. What kind of evangelistic sermons or messages is he delivering to the congregation? Well, if he's a saved man, he'll be bringing before you your true spiritual condition in God's sight. He'll tell you that according to Psalm 51 and 5, we're all born in sin and chastened in iniquity. He'll tell you that according to Romans chapter 3, that there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He'll tell you that according to Isaiah 64 and 6, that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. He'll tell you that according to John 3 and verse 3, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yes, friend, if your minister is a faithful servant of Christ, he'll bring before the congregation man's lost condition in God's sight. And then in love for your soul, he'll present to you the person of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. He'll introduce you to the only begotten Son of God, who, though he knew no sin, was made sin for you and I, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Friend, he'll direct your attention to Calvary's cross, where the just one died for we the unjust, so that he might bring us back to God. Friend, he'll take you to that scene of darkness, when Jesus Christ cried out in the soul-piercing anguish, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes, friend, if your pastor is a faithful servant of Christ, he'll preach the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And sinner friend, the moment you experience the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit and realize that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner, that moment you're in a fit condition to exercise saving faith. Yes, when you see yourself as God sees you and realize you're only a heartbeat from hell, then and only then can you be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, for if you do, you'll be saved for time and for all eternity. And remember, this is for eternity. Father, bless thy word that has just gone forth, save souls to his honor and glory alone. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ.